Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast for the latest Indiana farm news and weather and a look at the Tuesday markets as well. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by C.J. Miller, Eric Pfeiffer, and Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin in his Indiana farm forecast. Warm air again today and some rain chances that Ryan will detail. On the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Coming up in the news, an update on crop conditions in the Fort Wayne area and details of a change in the burdensome aspect of a 2023 labor rule. Grain and oil seed markets mixed yesterday, corn up a little, beans weak. Market analyst Arlen Suderman is here with his insights on the Hat Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Soybean crops in the Fort Wayne area being impacted by the dry weather conditions, and why farmers are happy about a federal court decision regarding farm labor. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, back in April, farmers around the Fort Wayne area were facing wet weather at the start of this year's planting season. Now those same farmers are facing dry conditions as we inch closer to the start of this year's harvest season.
You know, we just wrapped up the month of August, and if it wouldn't have been for a 3/4-inch rain that came through Fort Wayne on August 28th, we would have had just an extremely dry August. Even with that rain, we still are faced with the 8th driest August overall in the Fort Wayne area.
That's Don Weiss, a corn and soybean producer from Allen County. He tells Hoosier Ag Today the recent drought stress and disease pressures will have an impact on corn and soybean yields near Fort Wayne.
Yields on soybeans, I never like to see a dry August. And, you know, I think we're going to be dealing with smaller beans. And we took off that top edge of that yield potential as we went through that dry August with some high heat there in mid-August. I'm a little more optimistic on corn, but like you say, with that disease pressure, it may have quietly knocked out some additional yields with some of those late disease pressures that came in.
Just how soon could you be seeing combines harvesting farm fields around the Allen County area?
Starting to hear potential harvest from folks in the next week or two, trying to harvest corn and soybeans, those earliest varieties and maturities of the corn and soybeans. We will see activity in our farm begin in the next 2 to 3 weeks. We're a little bit later with the later start in the spring, as well as we focus more on fuller season maturities and varieties on the corn and soybeans. But as we know, this time of year, the days tick by fast, and we'll be out there soon.
You can hear my full conversation with Fort Wayne farmer Don Weiss at HoosierAgToday.com.
Get ready for the 63rd annual Farm Science Review, September 16th through 18th near London, Ohio. Dozens of new exhibitors join the hundreds of displays this year across the 100-acre exhibit area, field demonstrations, and Gwynn Conservation Area. Pre-sale discounted tickets can be purchased online at the Farm Science Review website. Plan your show with the digital directory and the mobile app available now. The 63rd Farm Science Review, September 16th through 18.
A burdensome aspect of a 2023 labor rule has been overturned by a district court. Eric Pfeiffer reports why this is good news for farmers and ag businesses.
The federal court recently decided that elements of the 2023 adverse effect wage rate rule should be eliminated.
This means that we are awaiting guidance from Department of Labor.
John Walt Boatwright, Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation, explains.
A district court out of Louisiana has recently vacated the 2023 H-2A disaggregation rule, which segregated wage rates based on job functions within the H-2A seasonal agriculture program.
Boatwright says the Department of Labor rule would have been very costly to farmers and ranchers who utilize the H-2A program to fill gaps in the workforce.
It was estimated that the cost of this rule on family farms was going to increase substantially. And our economist estimated that the small family farm was going to see 2 to 3 times the increases that a larger farm would feel. So this is a big win for agriculture and definitely for the small family farm.
He adds there are still significant holes to fix when it comes to accessing farm labor.
This is a positive step forward, but it is not all that needs to be done. We still are seeking fundamental reforms to the adverse effect wage rate, which will still be in effect. We're still advocating for access for our year-round sectors who do not currently have access to the seasonal program, and we're still looking for existing workforce reforms.
The adverse effect wage rate requires Indiana to pay H-2A workers at least $19.57 per hour, while in Kentucky, the rate is only $15.87 per hour, creating a clear market advantage for Kentucky growers. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A warm day once again today. Last one that we see for a little bit as we cool down quite a bit to finish the week. But here's what's going on. For your Wednesday today, we are in the 80s easily. Southwest flow bumping humidity values up a little bit. I don't think it's overly uncomfortable, but it's a far cry from where we were 4 or 5 days ago. We have a frontal boundary to our northwest that's making some progress towards us. Clouds increasing in northern Indiana this afternoon. And we could see a few hit and miss scattered showers trying to move into northwest Indiana near or just after sunset. That front continues to move through the rest of the state through the evening and overnight. By mid-morning tomorrow, rain's done everywhere. I'm going to pencil in anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch with coverage around 80 to 90% of the Hoosier state. The highest chance for the biggest rains will be north central to northeastern parts of Indiana, closer to Michigan. We are cooler, significantly so, for Thursday. This frontal boundary ushering in some much colder air. Is it going to be as cold as what some of the social media meteorologists have been saying for what seems like forever? Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. Part of the reason why is we've got another batch of cloud cover working through the upper Midwest and headed toward our region already Thursday afternoon at Thursday evening. So clouds, I don't think, completely get out of here. And secondly, the air mass is just not that cold. We can see some 40s in here probably as we go through that period, but low 40s are not going to be in here until we get into next Monday, Tuesday. Well, Monday morning, I guess we should say. So we're just not looking at this being a huge story like really is being sensationalized on other outlets. But in any case, we're chilly for Thursday, clouds increasing Thursday night, and we see on again, off again, scattered showers in northern Indiana for Friday, falling apart the farther south you go. We can see another round of scattered moisture over central and southern Indiana overnight Friday night into Saturday. That one could be upwards of half an inch from I-70 southward. It all gets us to a relatively dry finish to the weekend. Saturday afternoon, we get partly to mostly sunny skies back everywhere. We are cool, but I think pleasant. Sunday, same thing, cool and pleasant. Chilly to start on Monday, but nothing earth-shattering. Then for the rest of next week, we have some moisture trying to dance around, especially over central and southern Indiana. Tuesday, Wednesday, early Thursday, we can see some scattered showers, but not so much things happening up north. So it's going to be a north versus south story through the week next week. I think combined over the entire week period, we could see 1 to 1.5 inches of rain out of several waves of moisture in central and southern parts of Indiana, while northern Indiana gets away with spits, sprinkles, or even nothing. Going into the weekend of the 13th and 14th, we have some moisture trying to pop up, light stuff, and then we have better chances of well-organized rain to kick off the following week. The 15th into the 16th could bring our first significant rains in a little while as low pressure sets up right on top of us. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
When it comes to buying seed, you can have your cake and eat it too when you order from Seed Genetics Direct. Finance next year's seed order through SGD Financing or John Deere Finance and pay 0% interest through January 2027. Unbeatable seed quality for an unbeatable price, plus zero interest financing from the fastest growing independent seed company in the Eastern Corn Belt. Now that's a slice of cake no grower can turn down. Seed Genetics Direct, value, knowledge, performance. It's in our genetics. Corn higher, but a sell-off in beans and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. And after a Labor Day break, it was back to trade Tuesday. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with thoughts from analyst Arlen Suderman of StoneX. I spoke with him at the end of the session. Initially, everything on Tuesday as we got back to trade was lower. Corn fought back, trying to work the high side, but just barely. It was somewhat quiet in the wheat market. But the weak side leader, soybeans, Arlen, did that appeals court ruling on Trump tariffs on Friday impact markets, specifically that soybean market?
I think that was a piece of the puzzle. I don't think it was a total thing, but I think all of them worked together. The appeals court, the ruling that Trump's use of Emergency Powers Act had been illegal for such broad application of tariffs. It did not unwind the tariffs. It gave time for appeal to the Supreme Court. I think the Supreme Court could go either way on that. But you put that together with the fact that we saw a strengthening of the coalition between China, India, Russia, and Brazil over the weekend to stand up against President Trump. That indicates we're probably not close to a trade agreement with India or Brazil, and more specifically, probably far apart from a trade deal with China. We saw China's main trade negotiator in Washington for 3 days last week and walk away without a trade deal. In fact, in the statements released by both sides, there really wasn't much positive in those statements, and they both basically said the issues are quote-unquote complicated. And so that indicates that we're probably not going to have a commodity rate-related trade deal anytime soon, maybe not before early November at the earliest, at the current pace that we're going. And that made more of a focus then on the lack of Chinese soybean buying for the new marketing year.
Export inspections out a day delayed because of the Labor Day closure. It appeared those numbers were good, my opinion. What's your opinion, and what does that suggest moving through the rest of the week as far as the demand side?
Certainly so. 55.4 million bushels of corn were inspected for export shipment during the week ending August 28th. 17.4 million bushels of soybeans. Both were seasonally solid numbers. 29.5 million bushels of wheat. That was very strong once again, although down from the previous week's long-time multi-year high of 37 million bushels and 2.4 million bushels of grain sorghum. Now, not all inspections, not all export shipments are inspected. So it'll be 4 to 6 weeks before we get the final numbers. But this suggests that we could see USDA's old crop corn export target go up another 35 million bushels or more. Soybeans could increase by another 15 million bushels or more. Depending on those non-inspected totals, we could see a slight decline in grain sorghum, and we could see wheat exports climb by another 20 to 25 million bushels.
Of course, we've been trading the expectation of very large crops. Where is the trade now on that as we enter this new month? Are they thinking this crop is not going to achieve what USDA is suggesting? And how might that impact markets as we move ahead?
Yeah, I think we're seeing that in the corn market, which put its low in on the day that big 188.8 bushel yield was released on August 12th from USDA. With the expectation that August has not been friendly to these crops. We'll be looking for the crop ratings to decline. Now, they seasonally tend to decline this time of year, but the expectation in the market with all the dryness and disease that we've seen in recent weeks, that the September estimate, which the surveyors are in the field sampling fields even as we speak today, that it's going to come in lower than those numbers, helping to reduce the supply side of the balance sheet.
Arlen Suderman commentary. Arlen is at StoneX and StoneX.com. On the Hat Tuesday market review, only corn goes higher. December ended at 423, up 2 3/4. March up 3 cents, 440 3/4. November beans, a dip of 13.5 cents, down to 1041. January 1059.5, 13 cents lower. And wheat down all day. December ends at 528 1/4, 6 cents lower. October live cattle, 239.52, down 12 cents after working higher earlier in the trading session. October lean hogs, 95.55, up 52. I'm Andy Eubank. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.